I would also invite you to take out the pinkish sheet that was given out in your bulletin or with your bulletin so that you may follow along today. This morning we continue in our series on the seven vital signs. What does it look like for an individual Christian or for a church to be vital, to have vitality, energy, life, and to be vital and necessary and essential in God's Word? Well, the first Sunday we looked at lifelong Christian formation, which is how we grow slowly over time into the likeness of Christ. Last week, we looked at how we model Christ by being servants. And for those of us who are leaders, servant leaders. And today, we're going to look at the heart of what makes the Christian body unique. And that is caring relationships. Now, you may say that other places, families, clubs, have caring relationships, but if we understand the gospel, we will understand that we are given a unique ability to care because we are given the love of Jesus. And so I invite you now to pay attention to Paul's words from his letter to the Philippians. I mentioned that this is going to be a tapestry because Paul will present an idea in one chapter, pick it up in the next chapter, and then weave it into the fabric again later in his book. And you will see that today as we look at verses from chapters 1, 2, and 4. Please read along with me if you would. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in Christ's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. Paul continues this idea of love and affection and connection and sharing in the gospel as he begins the second chapter. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from Christ's love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by showing the same attitude, having the same love, being of the same mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility value others above yourselves. Do not look only to your own interests, but each one of you also to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same attitude that Jesus had. Paul continues for a couple of more chapters and concludes this letter the very same way he started it. The very last verse matches the opening greeting. And so we read in Philippians 4. Greet all God's people in Christ Jesus. The brothers and sisters who are with me send greetings. All God's people here send you greetings, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace and peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's start at the very beginning. Anyone know where that's from? It's a very good place to start. To read, you begin with. To sing, you begin with.
Do, re, mi.
Do, re, mi. Do, re, mi. The first three words just happen to be do, re, mi. If you read, you begin with ABC. If you sing, you begin with do, re, mi. But if you consider the spread of the gospel, you begin with Jerusalem. In 32 AD, outside the city of Jerusalem, Jesus ascends to heaven. And 10 days later, on the feast of Pentecost, the church of Jesus Christ is born. Within 20 short years, the gospel has spread like wildfire from Jerusalem up into Asia Minor and to a little city called Philippi. The rapid expansion did not stop there. Notice on this map, this video, how the gospel continues its march throughout the world. The white is Christianity, so it's turning the red pink. This ends in about 200. In 200 AD, the gospel has begun its spread across North Africa, and a young African lawyer named Tertullian became a Christian. And he then became an apologist, that is, a defender, an explainer of the Christian faith. And in one of his famous works called Tertullian's Apology, written in 197 AD, Tertullian explains what has fueled the spread of the Christian church. And this is what he says. It is mainly the deeds of a love so noble that lead many to put a brand on us. See, they say, the they is people outside the Christian community. See, they say, how they love one another. See how they love one another. Love, Christ love, experienced and expressed and shared with one another is the heart, is the secret of the first century gospel explosion. Wouldn't we all love for that to be the word on the street about Palmasola? See how they love one another in that church. I would love to hear how folks in our community that interact with us are impressed, not with our beautiful sanctuary, not with the numbers who are here in worship, not with our music, but are first and foremost impressed with how we love one another. And it is clear from Paul's letter to the Philippians that this is one area that this little church excelled in. To see what caring relationships in Christ look like, we need only take a lesson from the kind of loving care Paul describes in this letter. You might even view this letter as a sort of care package that Paul sends to these believers. And as they and we open this package up and look at what he says in this letter, we discover, and this is on your sheets, the source, the experience, and the practices of this distinctly Christian care. First, Paul begins his letter with these simple words: grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he ends his letter with that same phrasing, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be, rest, stay with your spirit. This is where uniquely Christian caring relationships begin. The grace of God revealed and given in Jesus Christ. And so I want you to repeat after me with as full a voice as you can manage: grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Now I want you to read those words, but you're going to read them to yourself, quietly. And you're going to soak in them for a second as I read them quietly. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Now I'm going to make you a little uncomfortable, but I'm going to ask you to turn to the person next to you and to say, grace and peace. Got it? Next, I want you to say them to the person in front of you and behind you. They don't have to turn around. You can put your hands on the pew or tap your hands on the shoulders, and that means I'm sending it your way. Grace and peace to you. Now, I want you to say them more loudly to the choir. And choir, you just sit here and receive it. And that includes you, Jim. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. And now, choir, it's your turn to bless the congregation by saying, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Now you get to say this to me. Woo! Here we go. Yes, my dear friends, that is the source, the unique source that only the Christian church has. The Rotary does not have it. The Manatee High football team does not have it. This is the unique gift God has given us for ourselves and for the world. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. But if that grace remains only a theological or intellectual concept, we will never become the caring congregation God longs for us to be. God wants that grace to be real in our lives. And so notice now how Paul describes the Philippians and his, theirs together, their powerful experiences of shared grace and emotional connection. He writes in chapter 1 and in chapter 2, I pray with joy because of your sharing in the good news with me. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you since I have you in my heart. All of you share in God's grace with me, and God can testify how I long for you with the affection of Jesus Christ. Interestingly, that word affection in the Greek is bowels, your gut. That is, Jesus' love for you is not in his head. Jesus' love for you is here. Those of you who are parents, you know what that feels like, right? Those babies, even though they might be 50, they live right here because you love them, the Greeks would say, with your gut, with your bowels. And that is how Jesus loves us. And then he continues on to how that love works itself out. If you all have any encouragement from being united with Christ, any comfort from Christ's love, any common sharing in the Spirit, any tenderness and compassion. And the word compassion is the same thing. Any bowels, any gut. As long as the only thing that holds us together is externals, age, race, style of music, time of worship, we won't live into this vital sign. For according to Paul, what truly makes us one is our common experience of the gospel, of God's grace, of God's Spirit, of Jesus' encouragement, comfort, tenderness, gut love. Ever heard this little chorus? Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together, Lord, bind us together with love. That's the only bond that should hold a Christian community together. The bond of sharing in, experiencing together, feeling together, the deep and transforming affection and love of Jesus Christ. So how does that happen? Are there concrete practices that we can engage in that will create and grow such deep bonds of caring relationships among us? Well, Paul gives us some. He doesn't stop with telling us the source, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, nor with describing their shared experiences of that grace. He also names several practices that have embedded that grace, that caring, that love in the life of this congregation. And so we look at Philippians 1 and Philippians 4, and we read this. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy. And this is my prayer, that your love will abound because of your partnership in the gospel. And then he concludes, greet all God's people in Christ Jesus, the brothers and sisters who are with me, send greetings. All God's people here, send you greetings. So did you notice some of the practices that Paul mentions? First of all, gratitude, thanksgiving. What would happen this week if we took our directories out and every day we said in our prayers, Lord, I give thanks to you for Gene Adams. I give thanks to you for Marian Anderson and Don and Linda Asbell and Bob and Nancy and Bill Ball and on and on and on. Paul gives thanks for every one of them. And then he follows up that thanksgiving with prayer. And his prayer in Philippians is specific, that their love will grow and abound. And so we keep praying for Bev and Gordy and Bill and Betty and Mitch and Becky and Big Mitch and Richard and Caroline and Iris, that their love will abound. We pray for all of you, for all of us. That's not all Paul says. Paul says another way that we are bound together in this grace of Jesus Christ is because of our partnership in the gospel. How many of you have ever joined other members of this church in some form of ministry? It could be a team meeting, it could be a service project, it could be choir practice. Almost all of us, right? You're in a small group. You are working in the office, you serve on a team, you're feeding the hungry, you're going to Palmasola Elementary. And those bonds of sharing, of partnering in the ministry of the gospel enable us to deepen our caring relationships with one another. And lastly, we need to communicate that, right? It's wonderful if at home you say, thank God for Diane Hayward. And I do. See, but if I never communicate that to Diane, the caring relationship is not fed. And so Paul concludes his letter by saying, greet one another. We send our greetings to you. He's communicating with them. It can be a little handwritten note. It could be a phone call. It could be an email. It could be a meal for someone who's sick. However, but let your gratitude and your prayers that love may abound be fed by actually moving out of yourself and communicating that gratitude and joy and love to others in the congregation. You know, one of the great sicknesses of our age is loneliness and isolation. Our elderly people, many of them are isolated. Even those of us who work on the staff or serve in the church, sometimes we're so busy that we feel lonely and isolated. And the great gift that we as a congregation have to give one another is the gift of giving thanks and praying and sharing in concrete ways, communicating the love and grace of Jesus to others. We began our time by looking at how the gospel spread throughout the Roman Empire in the first few centuries of the church's existence. Watch now how it has continued to grow on every continent and through every age up until this very day. Today, the Christian gospel has touched millions upon millions upon millions of people. Do we want the gospel to continue to grow in our church, in our community, in our nation, and in our world? Do we want the good news to spread like a virus through our church and then overflow into our world? Do we want to be a vital church in our little corner of the world? Do we want folks to say, see how the members of Palmasola love one another? Then caring relationships must be the heart and core of who we are. Amen. Let us now stand and sing of that love divine That love that excels everything. Hymn number 558, verses 1 through 3. Please be seated. Another way we express our caring for one another is by supporting the mission and ministries of this church so that we may partner together in the gospel. And so I invite you now to love God with your wallet and to offer Him gifts in response to His grace in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. You are the God whose giving knows no ending. You gave to us in Jesus' life. You gave to us when we were born. You gave to us yesterday. You give to us today. And you will continue to give to us until the day we see the beautiful face of Jesus Christ Himself. And so, Lord, we open our hearts, and as our hearts open, our wallets fall open to You. Take these gifts, bless them, multiply them, and use them that the grace and peace of Jesus Christ may not only be upon us, but upon all those whom this church touches. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.